Bible, turn to Acts 28. If you are new here or guests here, my name is Jeremy. We just walked through books of the Bible here normally, and we started in January in Acts, and here we are finishing it up today with this end that is only the beginning, okay? The end that's only the beginning, and we'll see some good truths about Paul here, some warnings as well for us who might be religious but without Jesus, and then hopefully I can take you on a quick little journey to see about how we got to where we are and where it is that we're going. If you'd like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little card here. We'll walk through some of these things together as we look here. Acts 28, verse 17 to the end, all right? It says, after 3 days, he called together the local leaders, Paul's in Rome at this point, of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or our customs or of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain. And they said to him, we have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him and at his lodging in greater numbers. Then morning till evening, look what Paul's doing, morning to evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them that Jesus, about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, and others disbelieved. And agreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to our fathers through Isaiah the prophet, he's going to quote Isaiah chapter 6, okay? Which sometimes Isaiah 6 is in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You've seen the angels are coming and bringing coals. It's where Isaiah, the Lord says, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me, okay? And then God tells him this, okay? I think we read that like a missionary verse, and it is in some regards, God forbid, it's not a political verse, okay? But it is a voice of judgment, really, okay? Because this is what God tells Isaiah that he's going to go and do here. He says, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You'll indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And that's it, all right? Kind of like one of those movies that has an incomplete ending. That's sort of how the book of Acts ends there. What do you see Paul doing? He's in Rome, doing the same things he's been doing in every city that he visits. He engages the Jews with the gospel and tells them about Jesus. Some of them believe, some of them don't believe. He reminds them of the words of Isaiah about unbelief, and he tells them that the salvation that God has brought in Jesus Christ is both for the Jews and for the Gentiles. My last time to tell you this in the book of Acts, okay? In Acts, there are the Jews, really in the New Testament, there are the Jews, and then there's everyone else, the nations, okay? Those are the Gentiles. You are probably a Gentile, okay? Unless you're a Jew, you are a Gentile. That's what he's saying. The gospel came first for the Jews and also for the Gentiles. Here the Jews have not listened, they have not believed. Therefore, Paul is going to go and tell the Gentiles about Jesus. They will listen. But I want you to heed the warning really quickly from Isaiah about religious people, and then we'll watch this thing come to an end. There's a warning here, okay? There's a warning about how religious people can hear the gospel, but not respond to it. Religious people can be around the things of God, but not respond to Jesus Christ. And I would tell you, I think this is as dangerous in the cultural Christian South as it is anywhere in the world. We joke sometimes that I spend more time trying to convince people they aren't Christians so they'll believe the gospel. Because people believe that they are a Christian because of what their granddad did or where they were born or because they're an American. Those aren't true, okay? Those aren't true. We need to be careful that we aren't like these people, that we aren't a religious people who haven't listened and trusted in Jesus. Hear this. This is what he says about them. Go back and read those verses in verse 26. He says, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they've closed. Lest, or I would do this, God says, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would have healed them. Let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. Here's the warning here from Isaiah about these religious people. They are a type of people who hear but never understand, right? Who see but don't perceive. They're people whose hearts have grown dull or hardened, whose ears can barely hear, whose eyes have closed. Right? This is a type of person that is around spiritual things, that hears them but doesn't understand them, that sees them but doesn't really perceive them, whose hearts have grown dull or cold or hardened to the things of God. And church, I'll tell you, I think this could be any one of us. We have to work to make sure this doesn't become us. The longer you follow Jesus, the more times you go to church, the more times you read your Bible, you can gloss over stuff. I already know that. I've heard that before. That's not for me. I want something practical. And then we're in danger of becoming like these religious people who hear but don't really understand, who see but don't perceive, whose hearts grow dull and cold. I think that's been a prayer for me at 41. I see some pastors that have been around a long time, and it feels like at times when I talk to them, their hearts have grown cold. And then I go sit with Herb Thomas, the goat over at Circlewood, all right? And he's praying for a fresh word from the Lord every week. He's 80 years old. He's been doing this. He's been at Circlewood longer than I've been alive. And here's a brother that is seeking the Lord, that's crying over lost people in his life, that's asking the Lord to move and to work in his church, whose his heart hasn't grown dull, okay? He's been following Jesus for a really, really, really long time, and Jesus is sweeter to him today than he was the day he met him. Man, would to God that would be us, right? Who when we see, we perceive the things of God. When we hear them, we understand them. That we maintain a posture where we're seeking to know the Lord in that way. And we learn from this warning, church. Learn that don't be a people that hear but don't understand, that see but don't perceive, that whose hearts have grown dull, whose ears are hard to hear, whose eyes have closed to the things of God. And listen to Paul's invitation here. Right? There's an invitation. He says, God says in Isaiah 6, lest they should see, lest they should hear, and I would heal them. It is God's desire to heal them. It's God's desire to welcome them. And Paul tells them, this salvation of God is going to the Gentiles. They will listen. They'll listen. God is ready and waiting to heal them and you. If in Jesus Christ, they will turn to him in faith. Right? He will welcome everyone who will come to him. There's no such thing. We say this around here, but I want to say it again today. There's no such thing as a person that wants to trust Jesus and can't. If you want to trust Jesus today, he will welcome you. So what? You don't have it all together. No one in the room has it all together. He doesn't love you because you have it together. He loves you because he's good. And he says, you come to me. I will heal you. I will welcome you. All who will come to him, he will welcome. But I want to land this kind of in this incomplete nature of what Paul says. Look back at verse 30. All right? Look at verse 30. Paul lived in Rome for 2 whole years at his own expense. He welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul's living in Rome. He's welcoming all that come to him, right? He's proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about Jesus with boldness and with confidence. And then it just ends, all right? It just ends because the end is not the end here. I love what Josh, you want to put that graphic up there? I love, Josh makes all our graphics, okay? And you see, my favorite part about this one is the arrow, okay? You got the beginning of the church, but at the end of Acts, it doesn't end. It's continuing on, right? Continuing on indefinitely into the future. Paul's proclaiming the kingdom of God. He's welcoming those that come to him. He's doing this with all boldness and with all confidence. I mean, that really is my prayer, that arrow has reached from Acts to 2021 in on the edge of Tuscaloosa, Northport, Alabama, okay? Where we are today. Here we are from Acts to there. And my prayer for us is that we would do exactly what Paul's doing here at the end of Acts, right? That we'd be a people that are living and being active where we are. That we'd be welcoming anyone that comes, anyone that wants to come, we would be welcoming of them. That God would find us faithful in all confidence and with all boldness, proclaiming the kingdom of God and preaching about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that's what we would do, that we would be part of what God is doing here in 2021, okay? We would be faithful to do that. And I would remind you of this, okay? That we are a small part of what God is doing to bring people to Jesus. We haven't arrived, okay? We're just simply part of what God is doing to expand the kingdom of God. And I want you to hear this. Our goal is simply to be faithful in our day. We want to just be faithful in our day. We're not, Capstone Church is not the end-all, be-all. One day, Capstone Church probably won't exist anymore. I'm hoping that's hundreds of years from now. But one day, Capstone Church won't exist anymore. One day, I won't be the pastor of Capstone anymore. And my prayer is that I'll be the pastor here till I'm 82 years old. But one day, I won't be. And my goal for me and my goal for us is that we would just be faithful to the Lord in our day. We'll be faithful to love our people and love our community well. We'll be faithful to preach the gospel, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And then, as Zinzendorf said, Count Nicholas Zinzendorf said, we want to preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten, right? That's who we want to be. Be a people that are faithful in our day and then continue on. And the Lord is going to grow his church. The Lord's going to do that. Not me, not you, not just the Lord's work. Because we didn't get, I've been doing some research on how we got here. We didn't get here by accident. We got here through the faithfulness of God and his people. And hopefully we'll be faithful to move on and help others do the same thing. I wanted to tell you real quickly how Capstone got here and remind you of this. And it's interesting because Capstone has Methodist roots and we're not Methodist, okay? I love my Methodist friends. We're just not Methodist. But we have Methodist roots here at Capstone Church. And I think that's awesome. I love that. In 1818, all right? In 1818, a Methodist preacher on horseback by the name of Ebenezer Hearn rode into Tuscaloosa and preached a sermon at Halbert's Tavern and planted what would become First United Methodist Church, Tuscaloosa. In 1818. In 1818, he did this. He was a Methodist circuit rider sent from Tennessee on horseback to evangelize the heathens of Alabama a year before we became a state. 1943, a group of 6 Methodists who lived in the Forest Lake neighborhood, if you know where Forest Lake is, met in the home of Mr. and Mrs. D.B. Quarles to talk about and pray about starting a new church to reach their neighborhood. And soon after, the church that is now known as Forest Lake United Methodist Church was started. In 1997, a Sunday school class at Forest Lake United Methodist Church began praying about starting a new church north of the river to reach young families and college students. Talked to one of their elders a couple of weeks ago. These families, they started talking about this in 97, but because they had made a commitment to Forest Lake, a financial commitment to help pay their building off and their debt off, they waited an entire year before they did their work because they wanted to be faithful to their word. Man, we need more of that in 2021. And in 1998, this group of families started the church at Tuscaloosa. In 2002, a group left church at Tuscaloosa and started Capstone Church. Right? And I came on staff in 2012, which doesn't matter. Okay. In 2017, Capstone Church was downtown where we thought we'd always be. Loved it. Next to Hooligans and Innisfree, right? That was our joke. Just come on down the street. And we had to move, right? We had to move because we couldn't stay there anymore because somebody with more money wanted our building. And the good people of Temple Baptist Church welcomed us into their home at 2206 17th Street, over by Target. And man, when we moved there, we thought we were going to be there a long time. And we ended up being there 23 months. In September of 2018, I got an email from a fella on a committee at Northridge Baptist Church. They were looking to maybe sell their building. And through a season of conversations and interviews, the good people of Northridge Baptist Church said, "We think God wants you, Capstone, to be in this building." And we're here because of the Lord's faithfulness, because of the faithfulness of generations of people that came before us, right? We told those great people of Northridge, many of them are still part of our church. We said, look, we view this as you passing us the baton, right? Like we haven't arrived. We don't really know what we're doing. It's not like we're better or worse or anything like that. The Lord, in his time, you ran to this point, and now it's our turn to take that baton and run. And here's the news, church. One day we will pass that baton off. But our goal is to be faithful to do the work of the Lord in our day. It's why we help plant churches. It's why when Anchor Church, who's now at the building we were at Temple, when this came available, the first people we called was Harvey and Anchor. Hey, do you guys want this building? And they're there, and they're being faithful to the Lord there. When Britt and Latham came to town and needed some help with the church at the Oaks, who's now meeting on campus, who's meeting at the Bryant Conference Center, because of really some of the faithfulness of some of our people that helped them. And we champion that. Praise God for that. Today, in Arvada, Colorado, the local church has their first public service, a church that you're part of helping to send, Justin and Lacey McKay. Praise God for that. Right? That's what we're here to do. That's what we're trying to do. We haven't arrived. We are not the hope of the world. Jesus is the hope of the world. The light of the world, salt of the earth. Jesus is the hope of the world. And our goal is to simply be faithful in our day to preach the good news of Jesus, make disciples, and live for the glory of God. One day our time will be up, but hear this good news. But the ever-expanding kingdom of God will continue on, and it will continue on from this time forth and forevermore. I'll leave you with some of the first verses I read to you when we started back in January. I'm sure you remember. And that is from Isaiah chapter 9. Okay? These are Christmas verses. But they're also church verses. It says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. They are glad when they divide the spoil. for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his oppressor, the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For every boot and the tramping warrior in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be turned for fuel as for fire. Because to us a child is born, because to us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's talking about Jesus. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is talking about the coming kingdom of God in Jesus Christ, okay, that we are living in. That kingdom was not a kingdom of this world, right? It was not a reestablishing of the nation of Israel, but a building of the church of Jesus Christ. This is what he is doing, right? He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And here's the good news, church, okay? This kingdom of God that he's building in the church of Jesus Christ, through the church of Jesus Christ, of the increase of this kingdom of God and of his peace, there will be no end. He establishes it. He upholds it. It's why we tell ourselves when we do our vision series, like, this isn't my church, and this isn't your church. This is Jesus' church, right? He's establishing his church. He's upholding his church. And he's going to continue to do that from this time forth and forevermore. And what's going to accomplish that? Not our strategies, okay? You know what's going to accomplish that? Not our slick logos or websites. Not our plans. That's not what's going to accomplish this ever-expanding kingdom of God. What is going to accomplish that? The zeal of the Lord of hosts. And the pressure's off. Like, God's going to grow his church. He's going to do that. We can rest in that. And here's what we get to be part of, okay? And I'm done. Or done early today. I've been preaching 2 chapters a week at you. I thought I'd give you a week where I get done a little early. Here's the beautiful thing, church. This God, this God is in charge of everything. He sent his son Jesus, who is the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, who is building his kingdom to which there will be no end. You and I get to be part of that. He doesn't need us. But praise God that he wants us to be part of what he's doing in building his kingdom. We get to be the ambassadors of this kingdom. God makes his appeal through us. Man, what a joy that we get to be part of that. And so my prayer for us is that we'll just be faithful to that, right? We'll be faithful in our day. We'll be faithful to do what Paul is. We'll be welcoming of people. We'd be proclaiming the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that with all confidence, and we do that with all boldness. And we'll do that and as long as the Lord gives us breath. And then we'll make disciples that come along behind us that do the same thing. And more that do the same thing from this time forth and forevermore. And so my invitation to you today is twofold. One, don't be like these religious people. Don't heed the warning here. Heed the warning. If you've come in here today and you don't know Jesus, receive Christ. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. This is who he is. This is who he is. He's a good father. He loves you. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's who he is. And he loves you. And if you will come to him, hear these words. If you will come to him, he will heal you. If you will come to him, he will accept you. He wants you. And if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he will forgive you for sins and bring you into his family. If you are a following Jesus, but you read those warnings and you feel that in you, that you've become a person that hears but doesn't understand, that sees but doesn't perceive, whose heart has become dull, man, I would encourage you to repent of your sin and ask the Lord to do what David asked in Psalm 51, to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you, right? God, would you help me to see clearly? Help me not to have a hardened heart to the things you have for me, right? God, help me to do that. And then I would just tell you, man, help. Let's do this together. Let's be a faithful church that does what Paul tells us to do. This people that are welcoming of outsiders, right? That outsiders feel safe to come to us and talk about Jesus. That are constantly proclaiming the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ with all boldness and all confidence. Man, I pray that's who we are. I pray that's what we do. I pray 2022, God will find us more faithful in doing that than we have been thus far, and on and on and on it will go. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of the saints that have come before us. And God, we want to honor them. Not that we all necessarily believe the same things or did things the same way, but God, you're faithful to move and to work. And I pray, God, you'd find us faithful in our day, whether that day's another 20 years or another 300 years. God, whatever it is, that you would find Capstone Church faithful. Faithful to preach the gospel. Faithful to make disciples. Faithful to live for the glory of God. Faithful to plant other churches. And know that we'll pass this baton to somebody else one day. But Lord, help us to be faithful in our day. And God, for anyone in the room that doesn't know Jesus, God, I pray they would see your goodness. They would see your love. They would understand their sin and their need for a Savior. And they would run into your wide open arms for forgiveness and for healing. God, help us not be a dull people. Help us not be a hard-hearted people who don't perceive and don't understand the things you're doing. And where we are, I pray your Spirit would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And God, I don't know what your Spirit's doing in this room. I just pray that whatever you're doing, God, that we would respond and be obedient to whatever it is you're calling us to. I pray these things in Jesus' name.